Now to long-term gastrointestinal problems associated with COVID here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Harvard researchers told The Guardian recently that there could be reservoirs of COVID hiding out in the gut microbiome, and that could be contributing to long COVID and have implications on the immune system. Join in on digestive symptoms and gut health with COVID, 800-642-1234. Dr. Greg Vanishkashorn is director of Mayo Clinic's COVID Activity Rehabilitation Program in Rochester, Minnesota, helping patients struggling with post-COVID syndrome and work-related issues. Dr. Vanishkashorn, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me today. It's my pleasure.
You're in touch with a whole lot of COVID long haulers. How common are digestive problems?
Well, unfortunately, this is a symptom that we are hearing more about lately. Current research shows that almost 16% of patients who have a COVID infection can have some new ongoing GI symptoms afterwards for several months. I think we're only starting to hear about this now because it doesn't seem to be a symptom that people think about on the top of their head when they consider a respiratory illness like COVID.
Let's pick apart new ongoing. Generally speaking, have these COVID patients experienced the GI symptoms at the onset of COVID, or have these issues presented weeks later?
Most of the patients will have some form of GI symptom during the acute illness. You know, we get a little bit of nauseous or maybe a little bit of diarrhea every time we have some sort of viral illness. But unfortunately, these just don't seem to go away. Now, that's the majority of cases, but there are also some individuals who have a little bit of a gap between their acute COVID infection. Things seem to get better, but then things get a lot worse afterwards.
How does COVID get into the GI tract anyway? Can you kind of, walk us through what's going on in the organs?
Yeah. So there are these receptors called the ACE receptors. And it's the way that the COVID virus enters into our cells. And this receptor is kind of all over the body. But in a few areas, we see this a whole lot, the receptor. One is in the lungs, that makes sense, but also in the GI tract. So there definitely is the ability for the virus to directly invade the cells that line our GI system. But it's not just the virus that we worry about itself. There's also that inflammation problem that comes with the acute infection. And that can affect the body all over. And the GI system is particularly sensitive to that kind of inflammation. So, you know, is it the virus or is it the inflammation that's causing the GI problems? We're not quite sure yet.
You mentioned inflammation, and I'm thinking about this gastroenterologist at Cedars-Sinai last week said there's been this nationwide uptick in irritable bowel syndrome, like seeing cases where people are left with IBS long after COVID seems to have disappeared. Is there research going on there? Can a COVID infection lead to IBS?
I think this is definitely possible. The symptoms that we see with the GI complaints following a COVID infection, they're very similar to irritable bowel syndrome. So things like abdominal pain, constipation, diarrhea, bloating, those kinds of things. They're right up there. Now, it remains to be determined right now, is this irritable bowel that's being caused by long COVID, or is this something that's distinct and just COVID related? We don't have the answers yet. We are doing a lot of research here at Mayo, but there's just a lot of things to be done first.
Are some people more susceptible to GI symptoms in COVID than others? Is there a particular demographic?
Great question. We've been looking at risk factors for quite a bit to see if there's any predisposition to these GI symptoms. And so far, we haven't found a pattern. It really does seem like anybody can come down with these symptoms after COVID.
And when we think about COVID, we think of the respiratory issues, the coughing, the sore throat, the lung issues. And I'm just thinking about my young kids coming home from camp and complaining of a stomach bug. And before COVID, I never would have thought twice. It too will pass as a stomach bug and them being tethered to the bathroom. Should I do a COVID rapid test in these circumstances?
Absolutely. I think what we have come to realize is that the acute COVID infection, especially with some of the more recent variants like Omicron, they can cause some really subtle symptoms. You may not get the full-on cough and fever and so forth, but maybe a little bit of fatigue or some GI symptoms. And so if there's been an exposure and there's some new symptoms, I recommend testing.
Long COVID has also been associated with depression and anxiety. How do researchers know the GI symptoms are related to COVID rather than a secondary symptom like something, a mental health or anxiety issue?
The million-dollar question there. Unfortunately, right now, we don't have a diagnostic test that can help determine if someone is suffering primarily long COVID or something else that's related to the COVID infection, such as depression and anxiety. I mean, this can happen to anybody that suffers a crucial illness. So right now, that's still a question that we're trying to solve. But the important thing to remember is that no matter what, if someone is suffering symptoms like that, GI symptoms, depression, and anxiety, the treatment is going to be the same, whether it's with long COVID or without.
Dr. Greg Vanishkashorn leads Mayo Clinic's COVID Activity Rehabilitation Program on working to treat long COVID patients with symptoms lasting weeks, months. Join in on COVID, digestive problems, long COVID, other long-term effects like fatigue, abdominal pain, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in a minute. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation at the intersection of long COVID symptoms and gut health. The CDC defines long COVID as ongoing or new health problems that occur at least 4 weeks after a COVID infection. Scientists are working on a lot of questions about the condition. We're exploring persistent GI tract symptoms and issues. Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Dr. Greg Vanishkashorn is director of Mayo Clinic's COVID Activity Rehabilitation Program in Minnesota with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's take a call now. Jenny is joining us from Green Bay. Jenny, hi. What would you like to bring up about long COVID?
Hi. I had COVID the first time in October of 2020, and then I had it again this January, and I've had insomnia from that time. I've never had a problem sleeping in my life. And I wondered if the link to gut health could be part of that, because I know that you make a lot of, there's your second biggest brain is in your stomach. I also I have the weird taste problems, like right now peanut butter tastes like jalapenos without the spice, which is no fun because I like peanut butter. And I had some hair loss too, but I was wondering if there could be something there because I have tried a lot of stuff and I still don't feel sleepy.
Jenny, thank you so much. And I heard Jenny say your second biggest brain is in your stomach, Dr. Vanishkashorn.
Yes, there has been some growing research indicating that there is a connection between cognition, brain function, symptoms from depression and anxiety, and the health of our gut. And so it's a growing body of research out there, but we definitely recommend that individuals who have COVID and maybe having GI symptoms actively try to help promote the health of their gut. And that can be done by things like eating a balanced Mediterranean diet, trying to avoid overly processed foods, with the hope that if we can optimize the normal bacterial growth that occurs in the gut naturally, keep it healthy, this will lead to improvements in the rest of the body, like troubles with sleep, troubled thinking, or mood symptoms.
Have you seen issues in your clinic with insomnia?
Unfortunately, this is a very common symptom. Many people come through COVID experiencing sleep problems. It's easy to see why this happens, right? We are sick, and so naturally many of us try to nap. And we're taking multiple naps during the day during the acute infection, and that really throws off the cycle. And it can be really hard to come back from that. And some people do, but patients with long COVID, they can sometimes have insomnia or sleep disturbance issues that last for several weeks to several months. In fact, treating sleep issues is the first thing that we focus on in our program because it's kind of the lowest hanging fruit to help people with their fatigue.
And I would imagine sleep helps a body recover as well. So once you're able to address those sleep issues, that can also help the body repair, I would imagine.
You got it. Exactly. And people forget that we can feel pretty miserable if we're not sleeping well. And I would say this is probably the fourth most common thing that we see amongst our patients who come to Mayo looking for help with long COVID.
So, you know, in terms of diet and exercise and, trying to do those holistic life things, are there any prescriptions that you also look at, or what really can help solve the insomnia issue that you see with patients?
Yeah, great question. So when it comes to the diet, definitely I recommend avoiding any kind of fad diets. And we've looked at all the kind of research out there, and we do not see any kind of improvement with a specific diet. And so a nice balanced diet is where I would start with. When it comes to activity, I try to avoid using the word exercise with patients who are suffering long COVID, because what we have found is that patients with this condition, if they try to push themselves at all, they tend to have a flare of their symptoms that can last even for hours or days. And these flares, we actually think, cause more inflammation, put the patients back a little bit further, and kind of stall them in their recovery. So we actually recommend some gentle, slow-paced activity with slow increases over time. And that is what really allows patients to recover in the appropriate fashion.
Jenny, thank you for the call. Mary now in Viroqua. Mary, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Hi. I'm wondering, right now I'm undergoing a pretty severe chronic case of diarrhea that started at the end of May. And I've been tested for the usual suspects of food poisoning or waterborne. And the best advice I've had so far is to just cut back on a lot of fiber and roughage in my diet. I do eat a lot of fruit and vegetables. I'm pretty particular about my diet. So this came on pretty quickly. I've been vaccinated. I don't think I've had COVID, but I've never been tested. But I'm kind of wondering if this might not be a case of long haul COVID that's just affecting my digestive system.
Mary, thank you for that question. Dr. Vinish Kishoren, do you have any insights there?
Yeah, no, this is a story that I hear quite a bit, and I'm sorry that you've had these ongoing symptoms, and I hope that you continue to feeling better here. It's important to remember that the symptoms are quite nebulous of long COVID, and sort of the million-dollar question out there is how to determine if something is long COVID related or something that's related to a separate condition like irritable bowel that we already mentioned. But the important thing to remember is that the treatment right now, based on what we see in science, is going to be the same, whether or not diarrhea is related to long COVID or it's related to irritable bowel or something else. And so I think you've done what I would recommend is visit with your care providers to get some answers, do some diagnostics. But in the end, the treatment is going to be the same. The treatments that you're using right now are fairly basic and conservative, such as a good diet. There's no medicine out there to recommend for a specific treatment of this.
Talking about long COVID impacts on the gut and digestive system with Dr. Greg Vinish Kishoren, director of Mayo Clinic's COVID Activity Rehabilitation Program in Rochester, Minnesota. Two studies that came out of this year indicate long haulers are having adverse digestive and GI issues. You can join in with your questions about long COVID, 800-642-1234. Dr. Vinish Kishoren, what do researchers know about the effectiveness of the COVID vaccines to reduce the frequency of long COVID? Is there any new analysis there?
There's some new information that has looked at this question. And what we have seen so far is that the vaccine does not prevent individuals from having long COVID. Now, that being said, we are starting to see a little bit of a different symptom presentation between individuals who present vaccinated and have long COVID, and those who don't have vaccines or who are not vaccinated and have long COVID. That data needs to be analyzed further here, but it's something that we're looking at very closely. Another thing that we've come to appreciate between the two different groups is that individuals who are vaccinated, they do seem to get better faster with long COVID compared to individuals who are not vaccinated. But again, there's a lot of things that go into that. You know, these individuals that are vaccinated, they also tend to present for care earlier than others. So a lot of factors could be going into this different presentation and different outcome.
Your clinic also helps long COVID patients get back to work and help them, you know, rehabilitate and try to get back to normal life functions. What are some strategies there for people who are dealing with long COVID?
Mm-hmm. I think the first thing that I would recommend is foster communication with your employer. Many individuals, they go through this not wanting to share their situation because they're afraid of stigma and so forth. Their employer needs to know that they're going through these symptoms and that there is treatment that's occurring and that people do get better over time. So that kind of gives both the employee and the employer the ability to plan ahead and know that right now we're going through something unique, but hopefully the person will get back on their job soon. When it comes to interacting with the medical system, I think it's important to also mention difficulties with work or other functional activities to your treating doctors, your medical providers, when you go to seek help. This is an important way to judge function and improvements in function as treatment occurs and really sets a goal for what we're trying to achieve with treatment.
Dr. Vinish Kishorn, thank you for joining us.
No problem. It's my pleasure to be here. Happy to foster the conversation.
Dr. Greg Vinish Kishorn is director of Mayo Clinic's COVID Activity Rehabilitation Program in Rochester, Minnesota. We have links at WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, the Wisconsin Veterans of Foreign Wars, the VFW, is celebrating 100 years. The statewide organization has more than 25,000 members and is looking to its future leaders, a younger generation of veterans. We meet the new state VFW commander and hear what the VFW means to you. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.